Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo and Footloose. How are you guys?
Doing great, Russ. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I'm actually setting my DVR. That's DVR with a D for, this game on Sunday at 6:30.
So DVR is like what we call PVR, right?
Well, no, DVR is the correct term. PVR is just, like, again, just something like you guys made up, like Canadian bacon. It's the same thing.
It's just an amorous.
I think PVR is the Queen's English. And DVR is
it could be
Trump's English or something like that.
Could be the Queen's English. I'm now seeing what channel the Grey Cup will be on, because now we've advanced through the playoffs and we're at that point. But we're going to start the show off with Paolo, because you were at the Ottawa Red Blacks game. You were showing off your mostly beard. I think it's gotten better over the years. It's not quite there yet, but mostly. It seemed like you had a good time.
Yeah, it's not. The beard is nowhere close to being legit.
Is this a beard Vember thing?
No, it's trying to look like a grown up thing.
It's like a back Vember going on. I'm not waxing till the Grey Cup's over.
It's actually a great idea.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's not working, but it was a heck of a weekend in Ottawa. We were expecting some snow for the game. It turned into a mess. Basically of snow. It was nonstop basically from about 30 minutes before kickoff. And as will happen when you get a little bit of weather, a little bit of snow, you often get some pretty memorable football. Freezing cold. I was on the north side of the stadium, but last year we had the final in Ottawa as well, and it ended on, an unbelievable catch and run play, Henry Burst to Ellingson, the famous second and 25 play last year. And I was thinking to myself that at the time, I don't know if we can top that. And even though it didn't have maybe that signature type of moment like last year, this was a heck of a game. This was one for the ages. It's a pretty great crowd in Ottawa, but the sound of this crowd, cheering through the entire game, that was even something a little bigger, something more special, something, more unique even than last year. So pretty amazing experience to be part of.
Yeah, it was noisy.
What was your take? It was noisy.
It was noisy in there, and they gave out, mind you, they were, I would imagine, kind of dollar store knockoffs, but they gave out 20,000 cowbells. And when Edmonton had the ball, it was louder than I've ever heard a football stadium in Ottawa. Like, it was crazy loud. And it was just a great atmosphere. And Paulo said it started snowing about a half an hour before the game. It actually stopped snowing Tuesday. Like it just kept coming. It just wouldn't stop. So.
I have not gotten any snow yet, so I'm happy to hear you're getting it all. That's great.
The coolest thing was Greg Ellingson got the first touchdown for Ottawa, and at one of the ends, not the end of at the Bank Street end, but the canal end, there's a grass hill at the end of the end zone, and then a walkway, and he ran onto the hill and made a snow angel that was perfect, and the snow angel was intact on the hill for everybody to see for the whole game, and it was a classic celebration. You don't see many snow angels as a celebration.
Seems like a feel-good moment. So the weather was right. The game was right. So that's good. So we'll get back to, Ottawa in a minute. I noticed that they were chronicling on Twitter the Grey Cup's travels and via land and sea. And it's nice. It's certainly not the same. Doesn't have the same following the Stanley Cup does, but they're trying. And I give him points for trying. Although the one shot that I'm looking at that I just don't understand is they're showing it just on the platform at the Dundas subway station. And my feeling was
it was a little
too close to Dundas subway station.
It's the Dundas subway station.
Whatever. Yeah. And
and in Newfoundland, and the trains run half an hour before that they run into Dundas.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what the train schedule is like there. I'm glad I don't work there. But it was a little, you know, they just left it alone. Like, if they did that in the States, there'd be four cops around the Grey Cup. In Canada, they're like, Grey Cup's in the middle of a train station. All right, who cares?
That's cool. You know what, though? Let's make the hockey analogy. I remember when we were at the All-Star
Was it the All-Star game in Dallas?
No, it was the draft in Sunrise, the one where Spezza got traded for the Spezza pick.
Yes.
And there was a fan fest there that we were involved in, and they left the NHL trophies. They had an area outside where you could shoot, and there was a radar gun, and the trophies were on display, and they left the trophies outside all night. Like,
yeah.
Unguarded. There's the Norris Trophy and the Art Ross Trophy sitting there out all night in Florida. But I guess it's the same thing. It's like, oh well, cool hockey trophies.
it is the same thing. Okay, so now we switch over to the West, and I don't know. Did BC not even show up? Like, is that what happened?
This was just an absolute thumping from the word go, and everybody wondered. Yeah, everybody wondered if Calgary was going to be rusty because they rested everybody on their last game of the season. They had a bye in the final week of the regular season, and they had a bye in the first week of the playoffs. So they literally had a month off. And, are they rusty? Well, the first drive, they just marched down and scored, and that was it. The beatdown was on, and they just didn't stop. They had a phenomenal game, so... they had it running on all cylinders. Their secondary played well. Their offensive line is patchwork. I mean, they've had so many guys go down injury. They've had guys moving from center to tackle to guard. They've been bringing in practice roster guys, but their offensive line keeps doing the job. And, Messam's carrying the ball. So just a great performance.
Can't stop them.
No, well, they look pretty unbelievable at the moment, and it's going to be a heck of a great cup game for sure. I had to drive home in that snowstorm that we were talking about, and basically left directly after the game, and by the time I got onto the highway,
no town car,
not
nothing.
No Uber for me this trip.
Is there a Canadian Uber?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, it's called.
That's what
Uber,
it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uber.
There's an extra U in there, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
But I barely got myself on the highway, and it was, I think it was 22 or 29 nothing. So it was a bit of a cakewalk for Calgary, who I think the final tally was 41 days that they went. Their starting squad went between games, which is pretty nuts. Yeah.
Well, it's like American colleges. They end their regular season in mid-November, and then they play a bowl game New Year's Day. I mean, it's a long break, but it's a good break to rest their body. And I was listening. I left the stadium about an hour and a half after the Ottawa Edmonton game, and then I was listening to. XM Radio, our buddy Dave Rowe from 770 News will be the guest on our podcast, and he talks about just how that team is so special, not just on the field, but such a tight knit group of guys, and for so many reasons. But they just look like a team of destiny right now, and they sure look like it on the weekend.
All right, so here's a story that you guys may not be aware of, but Drew Tate, who played for Iowa, that's how everybody in the States knows him, got picked out of a hat for the random drug test. And so after the game, they decided his urine was too diluted, and so he needed to give another sample. And he's like, "Well, I got to go to a party. Like, this is, you know." And the guy goes, "Well, I can't leave your side." So he's like, "Okay, I guess then come with me." And so the guy went back to Drew Tate's house, and he watched him kick back a few beers. He had Lagunitas IPAs. So he's an IPA guy, and he waited until his bladder was full, apparently, and so then they tested him. And the poor guy, this Go Iowa Awesome website that sort of like repurposed the story, poor guy, they just called him a piss man, which I think is, you know, a little disrespectful. But
I wonder
this
if
is what happened
cards.
Afterwards.
Yeah. See, if it was in Ottawa, he could have peed and spelled his initials in the snow or something like that. But
yeah, because nobody ever thought of that. That's true.
And then you could just bring the snow in. But do you know what's really funny about Drew Tate? Is here's the guy last year as a quarterback. He's the only quarterback to ever lead the CFL in scoring touchdowns. And how that works is he comes in for Bo Levi Mitchell when it's like, you know, third and inches or with the balls at the 1 yard line, and he runs a quarterback sneak and then he goes off, and he probably had 31 yards rushing all year, but he led the CFL in touchdowns, which I think is just one of the most unusual stats I've ever seen.
So now it snowed in Ottawa. Did it not snow in McMahon Stadium in Calgary of all places?
No, Calgary had, it was sunshine and about 3 degrees Celsius, which is about 37 or 38 Fahrenheit. So they had a
wow.
dry day.
So that was a nice weather for Calgary. I mean,
especially this
now,
time of year.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the Flames, I guess at practice, were all wearing Stampeder hats and helmets. And, you know, the thought just came through my head, like maybe they should have had some of the Stampeders play for them the last couple of games, because it hasn't been pretty for the Calgary Flames. Any hockey players on that squad?
No, I'm sure. Chris Getzlaff, he's in Edmonton, so no Getzlaff.
No, but he's got eliminated, so he doesn't count.
I'm sure there's a few guys that have played.
Yeah,
same ownership group in Calgary for the Stamps and the Flames. So it's actually
okay.
a pretty cool cross branding that they do between the teams.
Yeah, they both
help.
And if we're on to a big weekend in Calgary, don't forget too that the Calgary Dinosaurs are in the Stanley Cup this weekend against Laval. And
who could forget that? I mean, is that going to be shown before or after the Farm Report?
That's on. That's on Saturday. I guess Russ, you'd call it the Vanier Cup. You wouldn't call it the Vanier Cup, but that's our college championship.
Vanier, I understand how you pronounce that. They're, you know, I get it. I wouldn't screw that up. But here's the thing about Calgary. You know, maybe there should be a rebranding because they both have the same picture. I mean, that stallion. It's like it's getting a little old. I think the Stampeders need a rebrand on that.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the folks in Ottawa, you know, now that the Red Blacks are back and they have their team back and their, you know, their team colors back, the red, you know, obviously red, black, and white. Calgary adopted that black actually both in football and in hockey over the last few years. The Stampeders were traditionally just a red and white team. So, you know, I think the fans in Ottawa would like to see them go back to their traditional colors. And yeah, to your point, maybe it is time for a little rebrand or go with a retro logo or something like that.
See, a retro logo would be nice. I think you can get something out of that. All right. So now we get to the nitty gritty. This game is heading to Toronto. Unless people are bust in, is anybody going to care in Toronto?
Absolutely. It's after Sunday's games, ticket ticket sales started exploding. And I think you're going to see a lineup like at the end of Field of Dreams from Ottawa to Toronto.
Well, because we know that Torontonians sometimes. Yeah, I was going to say, because sometimes we've seen where Torontonians, when their team's not involved but they have to host a game, that some of the populace don't care. And so I'm glad to see that they do care. Now, where is this one being held?
This game's going to be at BMO Field, which is on the site where Exhibition Stadium used to be, where the Argos played from.
Okay, so this is
from
the soccer stadium?
Yeah, and it's where the Argos played from, and the Jays played up until '87, when after that the dome was open. So they built the field in the same spot, but it's perpendicular. It's a north south field instead of an east west field now.
Okay, I've seen that field. I've driven by it, and I know I'm going to be there for the Centennial Classic. So it looks like a nice location. It's going to be freezing,
great,
I would imagine. But it's right off the water, though. The weather is going to be brutal.
Well, the forecast is for, again, Celsius. It's for about 4 degrees and sunny with cloudy periods right now, so not too bad. It should be, you know, the weather I don't think is going to be a situation like
will it be okay
like
kick
in Ottawa.
Because that's the big worry. Will the kickers be okay? I think
here's the thing that's interesting is and this is a really quirky thing. The BMO field is a grass field, but the end zones are turf.
Why?
Because when the soccer stadium was built, nobody had ever expected or even envisioned the day that a football team would move in there. So they had to make accommodations to the end zones, and turf was put in the end zones. So it's just, and at one end it starts at the goal line, and at the other end it starts 8 yards deep.
It's not only 110 yards, but now they're not even exact measurements either.
Yeah, they're exact measurements. The field, the end zone is still the right length. It's just that there's part of it is turf and part of it is grass. And it's just like a quirky baseball ground rule. Like one of the, I think it's the Houston Stadium has the hill before
the
center field fence, or there's
the
ivy and the fence. Like it's just kind of a quirky thing. But the thing is because it's a grass field, if it's a wet week. We're expecting more snow Thursday in Ontario. If it's a wet week, that might turn into a bit of a mud bath, and that will really neutralize a lot of the things going on, that would work in Ottawa's favor, not Calgary's. If that were to
why
happen.
Would that work in Ottawa's favor?
Because I think the one thing Ottawa can do defensively, Ottawa's defensive line is really. Really playing well. They absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage against Edmonton that game. And if Calgary's Achilles heel right now, or their only weak spot, is their depth on offensive line and the fact that they've been limited with injuries, Ottawa has a good opportunity to really shut down the running game. They've got a great run defense. The thing with Bo Levi Mitchell, he's a lot like watching Kurt Warner in the year 2000. I mean, he's in the pocket. He's efficient. He has a quick release. He's not fast, but he gets rid of the ball before anybody gets near him. He's not going to be sacked. He's not even going to break a sweat. He sits in the shotgun, snap, read, boom, gone. So the pass rush is going to be irrelevant. But as far as Ottawa's ability to stop the run, that's where this weather is really going to help them out.
Okay. And Paolo, do you agree? Disagree?
I tend to agree, actually, and, I guess further to Footloose's points, the Ottawa offense, the Henry Burris-led offense, they, for the most part anyway, they run a kind of dink-and-dunk kind of offense, we're 8, 10, 12-yard passes. Burris isn't, typically the guy that's gonna go over the top. While I would say, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Footloose, but Bo Levi Mitchell is more of a QB who is looking to go over the top to, show off that arm and spread out that, you know, that talented and real fast wide receiving core that that they have in Calgary. So, yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons why it would favor Ottawa if the weather does come into play, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. We'll see. I mean, you know.
And you're right about that too. I mean, the guy that they're going to really test is Mitchell White. He's one of the corners for Ottawa, and I believe mm-hmm. his twin brother plays for the Giants in New York. But there's a factor. You look at Burris in the short game. Edmonton only brought four guys the whole game. They rarely blitzed. Last year with Chris Jones as the coach, they were a risk-reward team. They were bringing the house on every play. And this year, you know, they're rushing four. They're dropping eight guys back and playing a zone, cover two, cover three. You know, they had everybody back, and Burris was still managed to pick them apart. He did hit some deep corner outs, but mostly it was finding the seams in the 10 to 15 yard range, finding guys like Ernest Jackson who made himself open all day. So I mean, that was a lot of very methodical drives that way, and Burris did an incredible job playing against that defense. And Calgary will be a little more aggressive defensively, but you know, let's see how it plays out.
All right, so before we have our predictions, and we had a pre-production meeting, and we decided to kill the trivia questions for lack of fan support. So I didn't know how to tell you that, Footloose, but it's gone. And so
can I tell you the answer to last week's anyway?
No, nobody cares. But you can if you really feel like you need to.
Okay. The question was, what are the four stadiums that have hosted a CFL playoff game and a Major League Baseball playoff game? And Russ, I'll give you three. See if you can get the fourth.
Okay.
It's Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Exhibition
right.
Stadium in Toronto, Sky Dome in Toronto. And what's the fourth?
LA Coliseum.
Actually,
I mean,
I thought it's Memorial Stadium in Baltimore.
Memorial Stadium
in Baltimore.
I would never have gotten that. Interesting. I would have never have gotten that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Now something
Stallions.
Of interest. Yes. So now something of interest. The Footloose wants us to sort of curl up in front of the fire, pre-American Thanksgiving. I don't know what you guys do tomorrow, but I don't really care. And
work.
And talk.
We call
work,
in sick and watch the cut. What we call in sick and watch the Lions, and then wonder why the hell we aren't work, because work is more exciting than the Lions.
Yeah, that definitely
so
could
true.
Happen. I mean,
so
although there, that game could be close, but maybe just not a great game. I will say the Dallas Redskins game should be a top-notch one, and maybe the evening game have a little bit of excitement. We'll see with the Colts game, but the 1948 Grey Cup, apparently it was on the prairie, and it seemed like it was almost like a meeting of the miners, how the fans were showing up to that game. So, Footloose, take it away.
Okay, the 1984 or the 1948 Grey Cup.
48.
Yeah, 48 Grey Cup was the first legitimate national Grey Cup party. This is when it all started, and the Calgary Stampeders came into Toronto. They played Ottawa, so it was the first. This will be the third time Ottawa and Calgary have played in the Cup. 48 was the first time, and the 48 Stampeders are kind of Canada's answer to the 72 Dolphins. In pro football history, 48 Calgary Stampeders are the only team that's run the table and gone undefeated.
Well, I
year.
Hate them then. I hate them. I now hate them. Okay, go ahead. I hated the 72 Dolphins.
It's a strong word.
Well, I hate the 72 Dolphins. But anyhow, go ahead. Sure.
Two things to remember from that Grey Cup. The first is it is remembered for a horse being ridden through the lobby of the Royal York Hotel. And,
yes.
And Dave Rowe and I had vowed, if Calgary and Ottawa played, that we were going to, because we're lower budget, we were going to ride a pumpkin farm donkey through the Hampton Inn, because you know that's kind of more our style. But that's not going to happen this year. But anyway, it's kind of a folklore story, and Nobody really has any documentation of it actually happening other than kind of word of mouth. It's legend. Everybody knew it happened. Some say it happened before the game. Some say it would happen in the celebration after the game. And there's also an argument as to who did it. Some say that there's a wrestler named Bill Batch that did it. Some say it was Calgary Mayor Don McKay did it, and then Woody Strode, who was a big star with the Stampeders, claimed he was the one that rode the horse.
I've been able to ascertain on CFL.ca. So, you know, the fans came in via train, and then they did have a Grey Cup parade where there was a horse ridden by Toronto Mayor Buck McCallum. And so that's probably the horse that got ridden into the hotel.
Or there could have been many horses. I know that after the game, the goalposts from the game that Calgary fans had torn down ended up in the lobby of the Royal York during the celebration. So, kind of, woo! What are we going to do with these goalposts? Bring them to the hotel, you know? Like,
At 5:01 p.m., the goalposts were borne triumphantly through the front doors and were erected against the railings of the mezzanine in the hotel. So they took the goalpost down. These people are animals.
Yeah.
And then at 5:02, there were two platoons of bellboys who removed all the potted plants, flower vases, and pretty much anything that moved. And just so, because these people were clearly going to destroy anything in their path. All right, go ahead with the story.
And actually, what you were reading from is an account written by Jim Coleman, who is the Globe and Mail columnist of the day.
This is from Alan Christie.
Yeah, Alan Christie is quoting Jim Coleman, the Globe and Mail columnist from 1948.
People in Canada, you just confuse me. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. But his style is the next paragraph, the gaudily Caparis and Calgary supporters were boisterous and noisy, but well-behaved and courteously declined to ride their horses into the elevators. Any minor untoward incidents were occasioned by youthful local yahoos who suffered from the delusion that the consumption of 2 pints of ale and the acquisition of a pseudo-Western twang entitled them to ride the range astride any convenient Chesterfield. And I just love the way guys wrote back.
The horse was arrested, though. Several people served 10 days in jail for scalping tickets back then. That's a big deal.
Now, here's what Woody Strode wrote. He was the star of the team, and he claims
book. See, this is pre-StubHub. This is like the invention of scalping. I don't even remember in, like, American baseball games there being reports of people being arrested for scalping. Like, this is a big deal. This is like, you know, maybe when scalping was born in Canada.
This may be the first. I don't know if there had ever been any at Stanley Cups or anything like that. But,
right.
but if there were,
I just want to mark the occasion because, you know, there was no StubHub. There was no. This is a big deal. Okay. Anyhow, good.
So Woody Strode wrote in his book. He passed away, I think, in about 1990. He says, I walked that horse right through the crowd. I was wearing a white linen cowboy suit, reddish lizard skin boots, and a navy blue silk scarf around my neck. I held the reins and my rye whiskey in my left hand, my white 10-gallon hat in my right. I walked to the center of the lobby and pulled back on the reins. I kicked that horse hard, and he reared up and spun around. I leaned way back in the saddle, looked up toward the ceiling, and let out a war cry. The place erupted in applause and shouting, and when the police showed up, I sliced through them like cutting a cake as I charged out of there.
All right, hold that thought, because we're going to probably go 5 minutes into overtime. I want to let people know who are listening live that you can either come back to Blog Talk and hear the end, or, you know, in a couple of days we'll have the replay up there. But anyhow, go ahead.
Norm Hill, who's the other guy I want to talk about, he commented and said, Strode became a Hollywood actor after his football days. He actually did. And when Hill was asked about it, Hill said he made his life in movies and maybe he forgot what was real. There's no way he rode a horse into the lobby. Now, Hill was the wide receiver on the team, and he scored the winning touchdown in that Grey Cup on a sleeper play. which was banned from Canadian football in 61. I don't know if it's when it was banned in the States, but there was a substitution. He ran toward the Calgary bench, and he lied face down on his stomach. And there was a crown in the field, so a lot of people on the other side of the field couldn't see him. And then when the snap happened, he got up. The pass was thrown to him. He deflected it. He fell down. He caught it while he was sitting down, got up, and ran for a touchdown. And that was the winning touchdown on a sleeper play in that famous 48 Grey Cup.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, an interesting way. Certainly a memorable Grey Cup, that's for sure. I see a picture here where there are guys with cowboy hats. They're cooking on a hibachi, and they're wearing very shiny outfits. Like, it's almost like, you know, they're at a Best Mule
like
contest.
They're Cowboy Curtis from Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit like Cowboy Curtis. That's a good way to put it. Almost like they have their farm medals on them too. It's really pretty bizarre. I love it, though. I think it's a great story. I see a picture of the parade where, you know, it looks like there are Clydesdales, some really nice horses in the parade. There's one little kid on a bike. That kid had to probably be a millionaire, because who the hell had a bike in 1948, right? But there's one kid with a bike watching the parade, which I think is interesting. No, this is good, but I think it was the invention of scalping. I do. I just... First people arrested for scalping in Canada. I'm calling it.
That's your big takeaway from all that? Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah, that's the story. I mean, so let's get back to the Grey Cup game, and let's go with predictions. I'll go first, considering you guys are the experts, so people could just summarily dismiss me.
What will the ticket be scalped for? Let's set the over-under on scalp tickets.
Over-under on scalping? Well, here's the thing. I saw something on Twitter, before we do that, where Pinball Clemens was holding a fistful of tickets, and he's just giving them away. Like, doesn't he know he could scalp them? I mean, I just want to let him know that. He's just literally giving them away. So
he's crazy.
Awfully nice of him.
He's crazy.
For the Grey
Cup, so you know, Russ, yeah, the line is -9. It's Calgary -9.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was going to be pretty tilted that way. I'm going to go with the highest price in a lower bowl seat. We'll just say like an end zone seat. For a pair, I'm going to go 800 Canadian.
That's pretty good. That's a good over-under on that.
Yeah, I'm going to set it at 800. And you guys could decide over or under on that.
I have no
idea
what you
mean. I'm going to call it a push.
You're going to call it a push?
Yeah.
Paolo, do you think that the highest price ticket that you read about will be over 800 per ticket, lower bowl or under?
I know for a fact that face value on tickets, highest price was $8.99, so I'm going to take the over.
Oh, no, so you're cheating. All right, All right, so I'm gonna have to reset this, and I wish you would have said something at the beginning. That was,
yeah, but you
kind
said
of
end zone seats, Russ. You said lower bowl end zone.
No. Anyhow, all right. Kill that part. We're just going to the
One Republic at halftime.
Powell ruined the spirit of that segment, but I just want to let people know that.
And the tenors are singing the anthem. Do you think they're going to go off the rail and make up words? Wasn't it them in the All-Star game that
it was, because, all right, so
Canadian
here's
Lives
here's
Matter or whatever they were singing about?
Yes, they did a Canadian Lives Matter thing, but they brought a fourth tenor into it. Like, all of a sudden, they brought like a Shemp kind of guy into it. Like, that's what to me it was like you had the three tenors, and it just like you had the three Stooges, and then you brought in Shemp that kind of ruined it. And this fourth tenor was kind of like the Shemp of the group.
He's 10 or 12 miles away this week.
and he caused all the problems, like he did.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of him for a while. They're like, oh, no, he's no longer with us. And I'm thinking, well, who even knew him? Like, I didn't even know there was a fourth tenor. Did they have the fourth?
They should
tenor
have brought
case,
Casey
like,
Parks in, the guy from Vegas.
Why did they have
Las Vegas
a
had a
tenor?
He sang the national anthem to the tune of "Oh Christmas Tree," and embarrassed himself. They should bring him in now that Vegas has an NHL team.
Okay. But here's the thing. Right. Why did they have a fourth tenor? Was it in case they had a substitute one? I mean, I just don't understand. When did this come into effect, the fourth tenor?
Well, they're like Il Divo starter kits, and Il Divo has a fourth guy. It's in Canada. Like we have a 12th guy in football instead of 11. We have a fourth tenor instead of three. You know,
it's in
Newfoundland they have a fourth tenor, but he comes like half hour after the concert starts.
Right. There's no doubt that's the case on that. All right. So we go, and so I don't think the over under on there being a problem or not being a problem for this prop bet on the anthem, I'm going to go with it's going to be safe. But I'm going to say there is only going to be three tenors. I'm going to say there will not be a fourth tenor on the field.
The fourth tenor scalped his ticket for $800.
under face value.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go with three tenors, but one of them comes out with no pants on.
Okay. And the other prediction is that the over-under on teen kids whining to their parents who dragged them to the Grey Cup in the cold weather because they thought One Direction was performing at halftime, but when they get there and realize it's One Republic, I'm setting that number at 2,200.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Doesn't sound like Russ knows either of those guys, yeah.
No, like you really just, you went past my knowledge base there. I mean, I've certainly heard of One Direction and don't care. And so, like, I'm just going to move on from that and pretend I didn't hear it.
Russ is looking
you could
up
just
on
edit.
Twitter right now and just realizing that Nazareth and Kansas are popular.
You could just edit that out, Paolo. I'm just letting you know. You can mark this and edit it out. Anyhow, so we go right to the prediction.
This is the only part I'm keeping.
I am going to go Calgary will win this game 30-17. That's my prediction.
Fear taking Calgary with the points.
We're not doing points. This is just straight
okay.
Name.
No, but you said the
you know, name what's going to happen.
Spread's minus nine?
Yeah, I would still take Calgary with the points for you degenerate gamblers out there. I would do that. But I'm just saying I think it'll be 30-17. And that's an American. I don't know what it translates out to in Canada, but you guys can let the audience know. But all right,
yeah,
put loose your up.
We'll do the conversion.
Oh, thank you.
Well, for those of you in the States that have never seen Canadian football, like Snoop Dogg maybe, we have metric scoring, so like a touchdown's worth 10.
Right.
No, that's not right.
What do you mean that's not right?
Okay, well, I'm going to predict Calgary winning, but it's going to be 26-24, and it's going to be last minute decided. Ottawa's going to keep it close.
Okay.
So basically Hello? The same score as last year. You know, I'm not a huge fan of making predictions, but I guess I'm being peer pressured
being
into
forced.
Doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm an Ottawa boy. I'm gonna stick with Ottawa to pull this one out. We'll say Ottawa by 3, 27-24.
That is such a homer pick, but okay. Good enough.
Yes.
Don't want to say there's any homerism going on
this
show, but there is.
If you had some sweet action on that pick, would you take it, though?
Would you bet a double-double at Timmy's?
That is some sweet action.
All right. Well, that's it. You've got our Grey Cup prediction. We'll come back in a week and prove how Paolo was horribly wrong. And that's it for 20 Yard End Zone. We'll catch everybody next time.